Welcome to the Exceedingly Podcast, where we shine a light on the good works God is doing through Christian business people, authors, speakers, and pastors, and talk about practical ways we can all let our lights shine and glorify Christ on earth.
Sean Mice here, and I'm here with Pastor Bill Jenkins, and I am just delighted and honored to have you here on the show. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the program today.
Well, awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about that great book that's coming up, Prophetic 2024 Almanac. Before we get started, you know what? If we jumped into an elevator together and we had literally 60 seconds together, three or four sentences, what would you tell me about yourself and your flock?
Well, I think the first thing I would tell you is that integrity is important to me. I've got a beautiful wife. We've been married for 26 years. I don't just love her, but I like her. And we have three beautiful boys, and they're 24, 22, and 20, Bryce, Brock, and Brady. My wife's name is Britton. Of course, I'm Bill, so we're the B family. And I believe that, you know, my family is my first church. If I can't take care of them, I can't be of no use or no good to anybody else. And so I love to preach. I love to minister to people. I love to help people. I love to write books. I just love God with everything inside of me. But I do want to make it clear, my family is very important to me. And I think, you know, in the day and age that we live in, we need to get back to some of those family principles. And like I said, I don't just love my wife. I like my wife. And that's a big thing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Pastor Bill, I love your heart already, right? You know, really, you know, not just this idea of being concerned about the person rather than the masses, but really it all starts in the family, right?
To me, it does. To me, it starts with the man. I think, you know, we have such a, you know, and I hate to start the conversation out like this, but I think we've emasculated the man. And, I think as goes the man, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the church. And as goes the church, so goes the world. And I think, you know, we have to have strong men. I'm not talking about macho men. Forget that stuff. I'm talking about men that are godly men, according to the word of God, lead their families in the right direction and take care of them. I can't take care of everybody's family in the world, but I can take care of mine. I want to set a good example for my three boys so that they can grow up. I don't want them to be pastors in a church. That's too rough. It's too hard. But I do want them to be in a church serving, helping, paying tithes, doing the right thing, and being, you know, a part of society that can help make things better.
That's awesome. And I tell you, I run in the world, the circles that I'm in, I run across so many people that, you know, people come to me or, you know, you talk to people that, you know, the big thing that they want to do is have a platform with 1 million people following them or 100,000 this and 100,000 that, right? One of the things that I've been contemplating lately, and I think the Lord has been putting on my heart, is that he's calling a lot of pastors and leaders right now, Christian pastors and leaders right now, to step up. And I mean, if we think about the idea of God calling 1 million people or 1 million leaders to step up to the next level and just touch a few people a day, that's millions of people touched every single day. And they don't have to have a huge platform. If every single man would take care of his family, help out one hurting person, minister to somebody and mentor them and be mentored, if every single Christian man were to just have those three relationships every single day, the kingdom of God would explode.
Yeah.
People underrate how important those personal relationships are. And I just love that you prioritize that so much.
Well, we used to say each one reach one, you know, and so, you know, we're so interested now because of the internet and all of that stuff. You know, we want to get the word out as much as we can. And I want that, trust me. But the most important thing is I've been in too many pastors' homes when I've traveled around the world, and I've seen pastors that are unhappy and families that are unhappy. And I never wanted that in my life. I waited till I was 31 to get married. And I just wanted it to be good. I wanted it to be right. I learned that part of having a successful marriage is learning how to outserve your spouse. So, you know, I always thought getting married was somebody helping me and doing for me. And although I got a great wife who does a lot for me, I want to outserve her. I want to make sure that she feels good. She's comfortable. She has a good day. I make her coffee every single day. And to me, that's important. I don't drink coffee, but I make her coffee because I want to bless her. I want to honor her. And as I do that, trust me, I get it back in all kinds of ways. But I think we need to get back to that. I think that's an important thing that we've missed. And I think that's why, and it bothers me when I see pastors and preachers and ministers fall, because if the enemy can get the pastor, he can get a lot of people with him. And I think if we can learn as men and women who are in leadership to stand up for what is right, to walk in integrity, I think we're going to be much better off because of it, not just in the church, but in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I love your heart. Well, let's do this. Let's shift a little bit. What a great opening. I mean, I love getting back to, and maybe if we had a different agenda, we just, you know, talk all about those one-on-one relationships. Yeah. This is just beautiful because most pastors aren't talking about that. But let's kind of stick to topic here. You know, one of the things that I'm bringing out in my world, and I think that this is, it's not my world, it's God's world. And he's got, you know, probably 1 million or 2 million pastors and leaders that are kind of looking in this direction. You know, you mentioned internet a few minutes ago. I mean, the internet is like, you know, the next great, and we're right inside of it, but it's the next great mission field. You know, we're able with the mission, with this, we're able to touch the people that won't come to a revival. We're able to touch the unchurched, the Christians even that are unchurched, that won't go to, they have church hurt. They won't go to church, or they live in a place where they, you know, all kinds of different reasons why people don't get out of the house and go to church. And we're able to reach so many people that even 40 years ago, you couldn't reach, maybe with the television. How do you feel like us as Christians, and maybe, you know, even in your ministry, we're able to touch people, a specific people's group that is not going to church? Talk to that, Pastor.
Well, listen, I believe it takes different bait to catch different fish. And so I want to use as much bait as I can to catch as many fish as we can. And so COVID changed things. You know, even before COVID, we were using the means, the radio, the TV, the internet. But after COVID, or during COVID, I should say, things changed, right? People weren't going to church, especially in California where I'm at. You know, they shut everything down. And so we kept our church open, but we streamed. And there was so many people that were watching via streaming. And, you know, there's a good and a bad to that streaming stuff, because sometimes people stay home because they know they can watch it on the streaming. And we'd rather them be in church and be a part of that atmosphere, right? But, you know, it changed it. I think, you know, that was an opportunity for the church. It was a test for the church to begin to open up a little bit more and to reach out, use some of those means that are available to us to witness and really try to win the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's my heart. I believe if a church isn't winning souls, they're not worth keeping the doors open. I don't want to just get people from other churches. I don't like that. I want to get new people. I want to get people saved. I want to see God do something new in somebody's life who either has been, like you said, church hurt, or you know, somebody who's never been to church. And that's what our church is all about. I mean, we got more people in our church who, you know, got saved, came to the Lord. You know, some of them want to think they know more about the Lord than what they do, but they're learning and they're growing and they're hungry. And man, that ignites my passion for the Lord when they're pulling on me. You know, I'm bringing things out in a message that, you know, I didn't even have on my notes, because they're amen in me and pulling on me, you know, and I can just feel that anointing. And so I think it's so important for us to take advantage. You know, we have what we call the minute that matters. It's 1 minute, it's 60 seconds. We put it on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. If it's out there, we put it on there. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem, because I can preach. You know, somebody said, well, Pastor, you're long-winded. I said, no, I may be long, but I never get winded. I can preach for hours. And, you know, I hear more things about that one little minute than I do a 45-minute message on Sundays. And so that one little minute is a nugget. It's just a, you know, a little piece of, you know, the word that we're sowing into somebody's life. And that 1 minute, what we call the minute that matters, that we put out on all social media, you know, networks like that, it's the best thing that we do. And it's 1 minute. And it's just like the Lord's trying to tell you, you know what, this ain't about you, pal. This is about me. And so I think that in every way possible, yes, there's bad things on this this, you know, Facebook and all these other things. But listen, use it for the good, use it for the glory of God, and use it to build the kingdom of God. I think whether we do everything from door to door outreach every Saturday, we knock on doors, we go to people's homes, we send out flyers, we get, you know, we have big outreaches like we just had the Halloween. I don't believe in Halloween parties, but I believe in taking that day and using it for the glory of the Lord. So we invite people from all over. We have hundreds of people come on our campus, and hey, so what? They're dressed up. We give away candy. We have prizes, but we also give an invitation for them to come to the Lord. It's an alternative for people. And I think that's what the church needs to be about, is open up our doors, quit closing the doors and making it so hard for people to come to church and get saved. This is the greatest day, I believe, that, you know, we've ever experienced. It's the greatest day I've ever experienced. And I think God wants to pour out revival, and we have to use the means available, every means available, to get the gospel out, get the word out, tell them about our church. I tell people all the time, who cares why they come to church? I don't care if some 22-year-old guy comes to church because there's a pretty girl sitting on the third row. I could care less. The motives don't matter when you first come to church. We'll put any kind of bait out there we can. Once you get saved, after you're saved, your motives matter, right? But at first, do whatever. Use the bait. Use these days. We have what we call the Hallelujah Party, not Halloween, because I don't want to give the devil one day. This year, it's a leap year, 366 days. I don't want to give the devil one day. I want to take back everything the devil's stolen, and I want to reach people with the gospel and share the good news with them so that they can experience what I've experienced in the Lord.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you imagine? You know, the thought came into my mind. How many souls are won on Halloween night at harvest festivals and Hallelujah festivals? You know, and we could sit back and let the devil take the entire day. But yeah, we step into the day and we say, you know what? We're going to take some souls out of what the devil is doing. We just reframe that, and we can bring people to Christ on that day as well. And perhaps bring more people to Christ on Halloween night than we did the day before and the day after, because a lot of those folks aren't coming to church on Sunday morning. They might come on Easter, but they're not coming on Sunday morning after Halloween.
Exactly. And they're more relaxed on Halloween. You know, Easter, they know they're going to get it. You know, that's you're going right. to get popped in the face with the word. But on Halloween, who knows? And I love how you put it. That word is great. I think it's a word we need to really grasp. You said the word reframe. I think, you know, we need to reframe and reset our thinking. Our minds are just whacked in many ways because we're too religious, and we need to open up the doors. I think people make it too hard to come to the Lord, and we got to stop doing that. Let's open up our doors. Let's welcome people. Let's love people. Let's do it on their terms, on our terms, and let's do some different things. Let God out of the box, you know, and let God be God here in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, thinking about the internet, one of the things, again, that popped into my head as you were talking, you know, I don't know what the stats are, but like the average person spends something in America, spends something like 4 hours a day on social media, right? And I think that as pastors and leaders, we could look at that and say, well, you know, I don't really want to mess with social media too much, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it relates back to what we were just talking about Halloween. They're going to be on there for 240 minutes anyway. What if they can listen to you for 1 minute? And maybe they can listen to somebody else for 1 minute, and somebody else is pouring it in. You know, we don't always have to give them the full message like you were talking about. You know, somebody takes that amazing 45-minute message that you preached. They watch the first 4 minutes, and there's a pause somewhere, and they quit. They might actually be getting more out of that 1 minute message, you know, and if we can be so open-minded that you give them a minute and somebody else gives them a minute and somebody else gives them a minute. And then maybe over time, they actually say, you know what? Wow, who is this Pastor Bill guy? I hear him every single day for a minute. Oh, wow, there's a 45-minute training. You know, one of the things that I think that a lot of times pastors don't think about is the fact that they want to help people when they're down, but if they don't set up the framework for them to look for you when they're down, you know, because bad situations don't happen predictably. You know, people get into a fight with their spouse. People get into church hurt. And they get a fight with their church. Somebody finds out that somebody's dying or has a disease or, you know, all kinds of different things that we want people to come to us for. But if we haven't been there and we're consistently a voice in their life, they're not going to look us up. But if you've been a voice in their life every single day for the last 365 days, and they get that phone call that says, hey, you know what? Your son's in lockup because, you know, he got drunk and he has a problem. Now they're on your social media looking for, hey, where did Pastor Bill talk about alcoholism? Or where did Pastor Bill talking about rescuing your son? They didn't need that message a year ago, so they tuned out when you started it. But because you're in their social feed, they go, you know what? Now we call it binge watching in the industry. They binge watch you and they get everything that they need. They come to you and they say, hey, can you help us out? Now you have an opportunity to bring that person closer to Christ, bring the son closer to Christ, all because you were willing to embrace that social media.
Yeah, I think, you know, I always tell people there's two kinds of medicine. There's prescriptive medicine and preventive medicine. Everybody in the church, everybody in the world wants that prescription, right? Where we write that prescription, we say the right words with what they're going through right at that moment. But most of the things that we say are like what you said, they're preventative. They're not for now, they're for later. They may not even be for us, they may be for someone else. And I'm amazed at how many churches do not even have an active website, you know, for people to find them. They don't even know where they're at. How can they come to you if they don't even know you exist, if they don't even know you're there? And so I think, you know, making sure we have a website, getting out there on the internet, using these free things that are available to us, I think that's wisdom. You know, we have to be in this world. You know, we don't have to be, you know, of it, but we're in it. And because we're in it, let's use these tools. Let's use this internet. Let's use these things. In many ways, I believe God has provided this opportunity. You know, before the Lord comes back, the world has to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to hear it through my church alone. They're going to hear it through means like this, you know, through little interviews, things that go across the world, the internet and Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever it may be. And so I think these are the tools we have to use. We have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and get rid of the mindset that all of this stuff is evil and it's bad and it's of the devil. Listen, regardless if it is or isn't, use it for the glory of God. Use it as a means to an end to reach people and to let them know you're there. Because when we knock on doors, when we do our Minute That Matters, when we do our, you know, podcast, there's more people who don't listen to us than who do listen to us. But you know what? Even if we get rejected, if they hear that, maybe on the radio, on the podcast, maybe they got that knock on the door, maybe they got that flyer in the mail, they're going to remember the name of the church. And because we are sort of putting that name out there in our community, putting that name out there in the world, they're going to know who to call when they have a need.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I love it. And I love your heart. I love what the Lord is doing right now. I talk with a lot of people like yourself, and I just love what the Lord is doing right now that we don't even see, right? If we don't connect people, if we don't connect the dots, we don't even see what the Lord is doing, but he's doing some amazing things. I want to switch gears now. I keep looking over at that book, and I'm so excited about, but I don't know everything that's in it. I haven't read it. So I'm going to toss the ball back to you. Tell us what is a prophetic 2024 almanac?
I've been doing this every year for 10 years. This is the 10th year anniversary. I actually just got done with my 2025 prophetic almanac. So it's in it's getting published right now. So it'll be out in 10 days. But I do it every year because I want to give people a vision. You know, the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. And years ago, I kind of, you know, I kind of got bored with, you know, the 12 ways to study the Bible. And I needed something different. And so I said, Lord, give me something different. And so God began to show me that there's 31,102 verses in the Bible. Every verse is important. I know we will agree on that. Well, if every verse is important, every word is important. So when you look at names and colors and places and people, and you look at symbols and you look at numbers, there's a reason they're there. It's not there on accident. So this is not numerology. I'm letting the Bible speak. I'm not telling you what I'm thinking, or I'm just telling you what God is saying when these numbers are mentioned in the Bible. So what I do basically in the prophetic almanacs is I take that number, the number 24, and I look at the consistency of when it's used in the Bible and then what it revolves around to release a vision for the year. I get tired of people, you know, everybody gives a little, you know, sentence or paragraph vision for the, you know, the year, and it lasts, what, 3, 4, 5 days, maybe 2 weeks at the most. This book is designed to carry you through the whole year and to give you a vision of exactly what to expect of God and what God can expect of you. So I think our expectations are important. You need to know what to expect of God and what God expects of you. So we talk about everything, in this book. So everything you could ever want to know about the number 24, even at the beginning of the year, I had mentioned something, not to get into politics, but the 24th president was a president who was elected. Then he had a 4-year absence, and then he was reelected again. So he was the 22nd and the 24th president. Well, it just so happened, this is the second time that it's happened since then. So little nuggets like that, before the year starts, I put in the book, historically, politically, in sports. I'm a big sports guy, and in the Bible. And then what I also do is I look at every scripture that mentions the number 25. And out of the 19 times 20 or 24, I'm on 25, sorry, but they're out of the 19 times the number 24 is mentioned, 11 times it revolves around worship. And so what we've done is we've declared this to be a year of worship. So I don't make that up. It is what it is. Anybody can do it. It's just studying the Bible. And when that number is mentioned, and when you see the number 24, more than anything, 11 out of the 19 times it revolves around worship. So that's why we declare this a year of worship. I also look at every book of the Bible that has a chapter 24 in it. So we know there's 66 books in the Bible. Only 20 of them have a chapter 24. And then I give you a little nugget, a little sermon in there to just stir your spirit up. You know, it's not long. It's just a little, nugget in there, maybe 3 or 4 points, maybe a few more, just to sort of give you a highlight on what you can expect of God based on those books of the Bible that have a chapter 24 in them. So I love this book. People seem to really like it. They look forward to it every year. It's the equivalent of the Farmer's Almanac, except it's the spiritual equivalent. And so I just like giving this book. It's always small. It's, 100, 110, 115 pages. It's not big, but I get to the meat and potatoes. I don't waste your time. And we get to the nitty gritty of what the number 24 means to release a vision, because we want you to thrive, not just survive. We want you to be blessed and not cursed in 2024.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now going into 2025. So that book releases in 10 days. By the time that folks are watching this, it will be time for folks to get the 2025 so that they can start setting their mind towards what's going to happen at that time, 40 days from the end of the year, 35 days from the end of the year. They're going to be able to start getting their mind ready for 2025. That's just awesome. So you said for 2025 is a year of worship. We weren't talking about
2024 is worship. 2025 is a year of grace. When you look at the number 25, it's 5. How do you get to 25? 5 times 5. It's grace quintupled. Think about that. So you're going to need more grace that you give the people than you've ever given to them before. God gives us grace, but are we giving people grace? And so in the prophetic almanac for 2025, I talk about what grace is and what grace is not. You know, it's not a license to sin. It's not some, divine tolerance that God gives us to give us permission to do wrong. But grace, it loves and it accepts. And, you mentioned it in a minute at the top of the program, but, grace is willing to be inconvenienced. Who has problems when it's convenient? Nobody that I know. And so when you're full of grace, you're willing to be inconvenienced, because everything doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around helping others. So 24 is about worship, and then 25 is about grace.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that's a timeless message. I mean, obviously, we're going to step into it, but I mean, grace is timeless. And I'll tell you what, this was what keeps popping into my mind. And is this idea that, maybe there's somebody out there that maybe doesn't like the idea of the numbers and, kind of pulling that out. But I tell you what, I love the idea that whether you assigned it, by 25 or not, taking, the Bible's a huge thing. I mean, and even if for those people, and I applaud them that read 10 chapters a day, so at the end of the year, they've read the whole thing, right? A lot of times then you're reading so fast, you're not actually extracting something useful out. And so I love the idea with this is that you've got all of these little nuggets, almost different than daily devotionals. A daily devotional is like you know, this daily piece, this feels like it has this overarching year concept to it, but you can dig into it every single day or every single week and add something to your year. Like I'm thinking last 10 years. So obviously I haven't been associated with it all that time, but somebody were to dig into your work right here, Almanac, your work, God's work through you, right? God's work through you. How spiritually mature could somebody become after not just reading them, but daily digging into the Almanac that puts a spotlight on God's word, this piece of word, because it's so easy sometimes. I know how I am sometimes. I wake up in the morning, welcome God. Hey, this is going to be a great day. And it's like, okay, what problems do I need to solve today? Hey, God, can you help me with those problems, right? Whereas you're able to shine that spotlight and say, hey, here's a verse that'll get you through today. Here's a verse that'll get you through tomorrow. I just love that. What else can you tell us about prophetic 2025?
Well, this book is proactive. And by the way, we're not trying to sanctify numerology or try to, you know, spiritualize something that's evil. It's in the Bible. So these numbers are mentioned. They're there for a reason. And I only look at the consistency. So, you know, it says what it says in the Bible when the number 25 is mentioned. I can't help that. I don't, sit there and try to manipulate it. It says what it says. And so as we go into 2025, I look at the scriptures that have 25 in it. There's 23 scriptures that have the number 25 in it. And so who would know that, you know? So that's why I do the digging, the research, the study, so that other people don't have to do that, because I really love the word. But I got to a point where all this inductive and deductive and character and word studies are great. But man, I was like, I need something different. And so the Lord began to teach me that, there is, meaning behind this stuff. I wrote a book called Decoding Deity. It's a college textbook that, is used to help understand what the numbers, what the colors in the Bible, when they're mentioned, what they mean. Symbols in the Bible. What is the symbol? You know, when we talk about the dove, what does it mean? I'd give you all kinds of stuff, names and places. So I want to make sure that people understand my heart is always the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God more than anything else. I'm only taking things from the Word and revealing it to you to release a vision. And so grace is obviously, hey, you could use that any year, but it just so happens when the number 25 is mentioned in the Bible, it revolves around grace. And so we need to give people grace. We have so many things in this book. One of the things that I always do to tell people to test me, like don't call me a prophet. Don't take my word for it. I give you prophetic days. And so this year, the 25th of every month is what I'm calling a prophetic day for you to listen and watch and hear things maybe on the radio or the TV that are going on that will connect to the vision of God that I give you in this book. And if you'll do this, even for 2024, every year, this is how the book started to get attention, is when people would Google. We mentioned the internet. They would Google the dates that I put in the book for the prophetic almanac, and they would see things, events, stories, news events that happened on that day that went along with that vision for the year. And people started saying, wow. And I started putting things in the book where, you know, these weren't predictions, these were prophecies. And when they came to pass, people were like, there's something to this. And so I challenge people, check me out. If I'm a false prophet, put it out there, man. I'll call myself a false prophet if that's what I am. But I want to get the word out. This is 25. It's a year of grace. You're going to have a lot of what I call, extra grace required people come into your life. Now, you can't admit that, you're a man of God, but you know as well as I do, there are people in our lives and they require extra grace. They suck us dry and we still put a smile on our face and we still try to help them, right? But they don't really want help. And so we can't give up on them, but, we got to show them extra grace. God's given us grace. God's given us so much grace. We deserve to die and to go to a devil's hell, but because of the grace of God, we don't have to do that. And grace is not permission to sin. Matter of fact, grace gives you a right to walk in freedom and not in sin. And so in the book, I give you all kinds of stuff. I talk about everything. Plus, I release a prophetic word for our nation. I look at all 50 states. I give a word for every state and I give a prayer for every state. are for every region. So there's 50 states, a word for every state, and then I give a word for the regions, the five regions of America, because I'm believing for God to release revival in America. And I'm believing for it to be organic. And I'm believing for it to be everywhere, not just in one state or one place, but I'm believing for revival to be released everywhere. I don't want, you know, the light shown just on us. I don't want man to get the credit. I want God to get the glory. And so this book is all about God. You're going to see scripture after scripture in this book that leads you to understand in a different way what the year will bring, and like I said, what God expects of you and what you can expect of God. God wants to reveal his will to his people. And so it doesn't have to be a secret. Remember, we're not just his children, we're his friends. And he wants to share with us. And if we can get into that, you know, area, that presence of God, God will speak to us and he'll tell us what's going to happen. And he'll give us that peace that we need in the midst of the confusion that we face here in this world.
That's a really good word. And, you know, I'm going to take just a second and speak to my audience, because my audience will hit this first. And then if my audience likes it and your audience hits it and likes it, then might go out to many, many people that don't know us. But I'll speak to my audience for just a second. You know, I'm just going to say there's somebody out there maybe that says, well, wait a second. I'm not so... You know, I don't understand this prophetic world quite so much, or I don't like it or something. And I want to use that word I used earlier, which is reframe. I want you to take this for just a moment and reframe it and imagine that Pastor Bill isn't saying, hey, you know, this is what I think about this day. I want you to imagine this is Pastor Bill saying, look, here's the verse. Take that verse and go directly to the source and say, God, what does this verse mean for me today? What's the prophecy right now from you to me? Because I truly believe, folks, that God wants to speak into every single one of us every single day, that he's always speaking. And whether we call it prophecy, whether it's Pastor Bill, whether it's Sean, whether it's somebody you know, or it's you digging into the word and spending time with God, I believe there's a place for you to look to God every single day. I want to shift gears, if it'd be okay with you, Pastor Bill, and talk about grace for just a second. This popped into my mind. This is something I've actually considered recently. You know, we talk about this idea that a lot of times when people go through something hard, their mess becomes their message. You know, that this idea that sometimes in life, we find that people can't have true compassion for somebody else until they've gone through the thing. And so they sort of have to be rescued from something before they're like, oh my goodness, there's a million people that have this problem. Let me go start a foundation. But one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is that we have people, we all go through a thing that makes us realize, oh my goodness, I'm in a lot of hurt and I need people to help me with the hurt. And God's going to help me with the hurt. And I need the church to help me with the hurt. Here's the thing I've been thinking about lately, Pastor Bill. What if we were to all say, well, wait a second. I know I'm hurting. I don't understand your problem. So I don't really understand that you're in pain. But what if I were to just assume you're in as much pain as I am, even though I don't understand your problem? Could we all of a sudden begin to have a higher level of compassion for people that are walking in different shoes than we're walking in, instead of us having to only be able to really help the people that have walked in our shoes? I'd love for you to comment on that, because it's been hot on my mind lately, Pastor.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Whatever you make happen for others, God is going to make happen for you. And God asks us, and you know this, Sean, God asks us to help others when we're hurting. Remember David, he's running for his life. He's hiding in a cave. Saul's trying to kill him. And then what happens is hundreds of men come to David in a cave. Are you kidding me? That's what David had to say. Are you serious, God? You want me to help when I'm hurting? You want me to help when I'm being threatened? And I think we get so caught up. We talk about grace. Grace is not selfish. Grace is selfless. And so when we get to that point where we learn to help others, God is going to see our efforts in reaching out to other people, that we're not so concerned about ourselves. Philippians tells us, don't be so concerned about yourself. Reach out and help somebody else. Don't be selfish in this world. So I think you're 100% right. I think we get too caught up in our needs, too caught up in our problems, too caught up in our situations. And I tell people, you need to get a bigger God and you need to get a pocket-sized devil, because we have too many people who got a big devil and a little God. Are you kidding me? You don't read the word. You're not reading the word like you should. I read the word, and when I read it, it tells me there's a small devil. We're going to look at him someday, and we're going to say, are you kidding me? This is the one that messed up with us. This is the one that tempted us. Are you kidding me? And so get a pocket-sized devil. Get a big God. Magnify God. Now think about it, Sean. When you take a magnifying glass, say you took a magnifying glass and there was, just say there was a quarter. Does that object become bigger? No, but the perception of that object becomes bigger. The problem is not the problem. It's the perception of the problem that is the problem. If you magnify the right things, then you don't have to worry about it. If God can bring water from a rock, he can bring peace from the midst of confusion. God is still God. He's on the throne. You worry about what you need to do, and God will take care of the rest. Like I said, when you help others, God's going to help you. So whatever you make happen for somebody else, God is going to make happen for you. So you're 100% right.
Well, I love it. Preach it, Pastor Bill. I wish we had 2 hours for a sermon on Sunday, right? This is just beautiful. So here's what I want to do. I want to say, look, folks, you've heard some amazing, more than sound bites. I mean, you've been poured in today. This could have been a Sunday service if it wasn't broken up by my questions. So folks, take something out of what Pastor Bill talked about today and take it with you in your life. I'm going to highly encourage you to get that prophetic 2025, get it, study into it, lean into it, tear the Bible next to it, and allow it to help you grow. I want to do something a little strange, I think, or a little bit odd for a podcast. I'd like to say a quick prayer, and then I'd like for you to close this time in prayer, if that'd be okay with you, Pastor.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Father, I come before you right now, and I am just so grateful for this time today, for me to get to spend time with one of your generals in your kingdom that's just doing an amazing work, starting with his wife and with his children and with his friends and with the immediate church people and then his entire church and going into the neighborhood and now taking a book like this, multiple books over the years, and getting them out there into the world and getting onto the airwaves just like this, where perhaps hundreds of thousands, millions of people are able to hear. So all the way from the very home, all the way to the far corners of the earth. Father, I ask that you will give in the next 12 months, that you would create a very special blessing on Pastor Bill's life and on his family, not just so that they can be stronger for the kingdom, but so that you're just blessing them with your presence and your grace and your love, your prosperity, your grace, that it would fill them like they're filling others. We pray in the name of Christ, thankfully. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I pray for Brother Sean. I thank you for his heart, for his life. I thank you, Lord, that you can feel the connection, feel the chemistry, feel the anointing that's on this program today. Lord, just the going back and forth, you stirring up our spirits. And I just ask that you touch my brother and Lord, just encourage him and strengthen him. Let the path, Lord, that he is following be a path, Lord, that you are causing and creating for him to experience success in his life. I just pray, God, that your hand be upon him and everything he touch. I pray, God, that it will prosper. I thank you for those that are listening. And I ask, God, that you would just cause them, Lord, to just embrace the words that have been spoken from me and from Brother Sean today so that, Lord, the people of God can get that word and their life can be changed. If we can get a word, if we can get the word on something, it will change our lives. It'll bring health and healing and to bring deliverance and salvation. And so, Lord, we pray for everyone that's listening. And God, we pray, God, for revival to be poured out upon our nation. Not just in one place, one city, one church, but all over our land. I thank you for this time. And Lord, we ask that you bless it and anoint it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. This has been an amazing session, Pastor Bill. Thank you for doing this, for not just agreeing, but for being here, for pouring out my audience to yours and to anybody else. The Lord sends our way through his grace and his power and his omniscience.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your heart and I love your passion. I love, you know, your desire. I love your humility. And so I'm just thankful that you've invited me on the program today. And people can go to Amazon. They can download it on ebook Kindle. We have an audio version of the book. Plus, they can go this year and get it at walmart.com and target.com, as well as Barnes & Noble. So it's all over. So go get a copy of this book. Check it out. If you don't like it, throw it away. If you do, give it to somebody else. But let's allow God to rule and reign in our life, not just at the end of 2024, but throughout 2025. So thank you, my brother. I appreciate your heart.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yep. Go out there, read it, and recycle it. Go make it happen. You can even gift it for Christmas, folks. You guys can, you can get it early, evaluate it. You can gift it for Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the Exceedingly podcast, where we shine a light on the good works God is doing through Christian business people, authors, speakers, and pastors. Talk about practical ways we can all let our lights shine and glorify Christ on earth.